podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the Anfield Wrap. I've got John Gibbons. I've got Ian Ryan. Download the app for lots and lots and lots and lots of things around Liverpool's summer business. That starts very much from today. It is Tuesday the 30th of May. Obviously, Liverpool played Southampton at a really odd kickoff time at 4:30. That makes no sense to anybody. On Sunday, really ruined some days with that one, the Premier League, to say the least. It's happened some time ago is my point. So we'll talk about it in brief, but it sets up the conversation that we're going to have. This is a show about the squad, but it sort of isn't, but it sort of is. And Southampton 4, Liverpool 4, John, is so end of season, it's ridiculous, but it does frame a conversation about where Liverpool's squad is right now and what they might want to do or not want to do.
Yeah, it does. I think that's fair. You know, there's players who are vested, and then there's others who come in, and you don't want to judge them, you know, too much on one game anyway, never mind a dead rubber at the end of the season. But you can see where the extra fragilities come. You can see where the drop-off in quality is. And, you know, you're not just judging them on that game. Are you judging them on what you've seen from them, you know, this season as a whole, generally a lot of them. And so I think for a few of them, Liverpool have got decisions to make, and of course the players have got decisions to make as well. You know, you look at someone like Tsimikas, for example, who has come to Liverpool and I think has enjoyed his time here, but might be thinking, actually, do you know what, I'd quite like to be a starting fullback somewhere now, even if it's not quite a club of the prestige of Liverpool. There's others who, you know, Joe Gomez is maybe in a sort of similar situation. And then there's others like Joe Matip, who Liverpool are maybe, you know, it's maybe more Liverpool's decision, really. You know, is this someone who we want as one of our starting four? Is there anyone who might be able to, you know, take him off us, you know, get a few quid in, probably not a lot at his age and with an injury record, but you know, his wages will be decent. And so there is, you know, quite a few who are on the pitch there who you wouldn't be surprised if a couple of them were at another club, you know. You know, you can be careful and sell 8 to 10 here, and then you're leaving yourself with this new fella's got a lot of work to do all of a sudden. Are you going to clear all these out first and then replace them all? But, you know, he seems keen, so why not let him crack on? But it was interesting sort of looking at the squad and seeing, you know, where the performances were and weren't, if you like.
It's a tale of two boxes, I'd say. And I mean, let's be clear about this. Liverpool's expected goals is about 3.6. The number of goals they scored is 4. There's an argument that if you're getting, with the players of Liverpool's quality, if you're getting the chances that equal 3.6 expected goals, you should possibly be getting 5. Certainly if the opposition have got 4. So, you know, I don't want to act as though everyone at the top end of the pitch plays brilliantly. But, you know, Jota does do the business, as an example, and it's easy to say that Matip and Gomez don't. Kelleher doesn't. Tsimikas doesn't. And that is, to me, my main takeaway from the game. It was my main takeaway whilst watching the game and trying not to lose my mind about what was going on at Goodison Park. My main takeaway was, even as much in moments as anything else than the specific incidents, there just needs to be so much more decisiveness at that end of the pitch from those players who were coming in, and there just wasn't any, I didn't think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you'd have told me going into the weekend there was going to be 8 goals in a game, it would have been R1 or the game at Elland Road. It felt like there was going to be goals in one of those two, and it ends up being an R game. And I think your point's right. I mean, I think there is obviously some mitigation for some of those players at the back because they haven't played for a long period of the time. And I think you've mentioned something on other shows where they probably are well within their rights to say, well, I'm not playing with the good lads here, so, or the better lads, I should say. And some of that's fair. But if you're the manager and it is cutthroat and it is ruthless, there's also this thing of sometimes you've just got to take your opportunity when you get it and you've got to be better. And I think there's been too many instances this season where maybe you are bringing one or two in and they are just below the level that you expect. And with someone like a Matip, I think his last game was probably West Ham.
It was,
He comes in and does well that night. Gomez is probably Chelsea, I think, when he played. So that's a fair amount of time. But I think you've seen from Joe that he's really struggling to get to those levels that he did when he was, I thought he was great between 2018 and 2020. I thought he was playing so well. Looked like he had the lot, to be honest. And then injuries have really hurt him to the point now where you're thinking he's had so many, can he ever come back and operate at a level where he is showing some of that decisiveness? I think he looks passive, he looks tentative, his decision-making isn't great, but he's not the only one.
It looks to me like a crisis of confidence a little bit at times.
Yeah, and there's a lot of question marks, I think, over more players than I'd like, to be honest. And I think, you know, we know there's a group of them that are going to leave, but there's also a group of them that are going to stay, and I'm just not sure about them anymore. Now, listen, I'm not seeing everything that's going on in training, so it's fine for me not to be sure. But you hope, in terms of the management and the coaching team, that they are sure about some of these, because the likes of Matip, the likes of Gomez, you know, the left-back, Tsimikas, what we've mentioned, he may well leave the club. The keeper may well leave, so they need to maybe do something with a backup goalkeeper. We know Adrian's staying, but I don't think he's a number two. He's a number three, in my opinion, at a club like Liverpool. Yeah, and the stuff around the keeper was interesting, wasn't it? Because he hasn't played loads, Kelleher. But I have heard a number of people say, well, Liverpool should be asking for this amount or this amount. And it was figures that were really, really high, you know, kind of 30, 35 million. And I'm thinking, that was his fifth league game. I'm not sure you're getting anyone to pay that kind of money for a lad who's only really played in cup matches and then some league games as well. And listen, again, he's got mitigation because he's coming out the cold. But you look at some of those goals that go in, and you know, Alisson probably saves three of them. And again, you compare them to the very best, I understand that. But I think there are a lot of questions, Neil, and there's work to be done over the summer, there's no doubt about it.
When you go through the game, Ian, I'll come back to you on it first and foremost. You start off, and obviously there's the gift, which is the opener. There's then also what Firmino does, which is very much helped by the fact that the Southampton defenders couldn't have made it any easier for him, if we're all honest about it. But what I think you got to see in those moments and right the way through the match was a side that, you know, especially around someone like Gakpo, I thought yet again, as soon as he got on the pitch, I thought he really took Liverpool up a level, and he's really, really impressive. It's a side that's got the potential to attack very well, and it's still got to work on that. It could do with scoring more goals, I would argue. You know, I think if you look at the numbers that City post, Liverpool needs to be within 10 of that if we're going to challenge them in a serious way. But you got to see, I think, precisely how and who could score goals for Liverpool. Jota's now 7 since he got his first of the season, if you see what I mean, which is Leeds away, which isn't that long ago, and he's now knocking them in. You know, it's good to see that Liverpool can still do that. That is, for me, the big positive to take away, even on a day where Salah was misfiring.
Yeah, I think the Jota one, it always felt like he just needed that one, and then he was going to go on a bit of a run. And I think, you know, it's easy to forget how clinical Jota has been for Liverpool in certain moments. And that injury he has, I think it's against City, isn't it? That looked and felt like a bad one. And I think they've had to be careful with him and stuff. But there's no doubt about it. He's got something slightly different, I think, from lots of other footballers at the club, where he is able to sniff out these opportunities and he puts himself in the right positions. And he's a great finisher. And there's been times where he's carried Liverpool because others have been missing and he's been someone who's stepped up. I do like him in that kind of centre-forward position. Though, yeah, I'm not a huge fan where he has to go out wide and maybe he hasn't quite got some of the kind of physicality or the speed that you'd want from someone out in those areas. But in and around the box, I think he's so cute and he's so clever and he comes alive in the six-yard box, and it's often been referenced. He is really, really good at pressing and stuff. So I think Jota, it was great to see him back amongst the goals. And then you've got someone like Gakpo, who I don't think it can be underestimated just how well he's done since he's come in. And there was only a little bit of settling in for him, really. It was a couple of games where you're thinking, well, actually, you know, it might take him a little bit of time. But then he's been on this run now where he's delivered a number of really high, consistent performances, I think. And, you know, his cameo again at the weekend was another real example of that. And I think Liverpool have got themselves, you know, one hell of a footballer by the looks of it. He just knits all things together, and he just looks like he's really careful with the football, doesn't give it away. He just seems...
Wins it back. I mean, that was the big thing I took from that one. He was so good at winning it back.
But he's also very tactically switched on, and you're almost kind of sitting there thinking, wow, he's grasped this quickly. He's got hold of this very quickly in terms of what's being asked of him. And I think, you know, when Jürgen's maybe threw out one or two lines about certain players understanding the system, you know, it's obviously been about maybe Darwin Nunes, for instance, in terms of knowing when to press and when not to. But I think it's also been about, you know, Gakpo's a bit of a shining light here. You know, that's who you're looking at. If you want to understand someone who's grasped it straight away and knows how to play the system and knows when to go and when to press and all that kind of stuff, he is that man. So, you know, I think he's been brilliant since he's come in.
The Gakpo takeaway for me, John, is that he brings him on to play theoretically in midfield. Now, the way we play at the minute, there's so much fluidity. But he's there to be one of the deeper footballers. You know, Diaz is meant to be ahead of him. Jota's meant to be ahead of him. Salah's meant to be ahead of him. To an extent, it almost feels like Elliott's had a little bit more of a roving brief than Gakpo. And yet that's one of the reasons why Gakpo is so impressive. You know, when he's there at the back post to get the tap, and it's a centre-forward's goal from a lad who's playing attacking midfield.
Yeah, no, that is fair. And, you know, like Ian says, you know, how quickly he's grasped, you know, what the manager wants from him and what gets you in this team and keeps you there, you know, is really impressive. And you could see that he's been a captain. You can see he's got sort of, you know, leadership in him as well. His combative nature and the fact that, you know, he is physical in not a, necessarily an obvious way. He's not flying into tackles or anything like that, but how he uses his body to keep the ball, but also to get in front and nip it back, you know, is really useful for us and how we want to play and getting us forward or keeping another team sort of pinned back. And I really like the trademark tapping. It's great. it's you know, you could see a world when we're ticking, he gets, you know, 7 or 8 of them in a season, you know, if we're really going. That goal he scores is a really nice Liverpool move, and it's a kind of move that we probably haven't done enough this season or haven't pulled off enough this season, whether that's been sharpness or confidence or, you know, it always felt like we've overhit one pass a lot this season. You know, Villa was an awful example for it. You know, final balls or little opportunities missed by not being slick enough or quite sharp enough. You know, it really comes together there in a way that, you know, that when Liverpool were at our best 3-4 years ago, we were scoring sort of quite a few of them. And so if all the people can come alive around them, then, you know, he can really add to that. It's you know, you don't want to go sort of overboard on him because it's what, 7 goals and 2 assists in 20, so he's not quite there yet. But of the newer players, and include Diaz in that still, who we need to make a jump, you back him more than the others, I think, to do that. You know, you're looking at us goals-wise next season and you think, well, you probably want a few more from Salah because he's greedy and you know he can do it. But all the others, you know, we want more from. And who do you, you know, you're talking about getting back to where we were, and to get back to where we were, you need to replace what Firmino gave you, what Mane gave you, and what Salah was giving you. And that's a really high standard, but this Liverpool Football Club, and you've joined it, so you're going to have to cop for it. And so you, who's going to get those numbers from similar positions? And, you know, Diaz looks a really good player, don't get me wrong, but, you know, is he got Mane numbers in him? You know, we'll have to sort of see on that. You know, there's loads of questions on Darwin Nunes that, you know, I'm sure we'll get onto on another day. He doesn't play in this game, so, you know, it's sort of irrelevant for the here and now. But Gakpo as well, you know, has he got a peak Bobby season in him? And he's probably the one who's given the most suggestion now that I have. Yeah, I have got that season in me. High teens goals, half of that in assists, and also everything else. You know, he looks like the one most likely to make the jump for me.
And for me, it's the variety of goals as well. So you talk there, John, about the one where he ghosts in on the back post, but then you think he's got that shot at him, which he gets the goal against West Ham, where it's outside the box. Really, really good goal. And then the delicate, cute one against United as well, where he's bursting through and he's able just to use a real kind of, you know, awareness of what's going on around him. It's a really cute finish. So I think he's someone who's got a bit of a variety to him as well, not only in terms of his build-up play, where I think he's really clever in terms of how he brings others into play, how he shields the ball, and how he's able to kind of get Liverpool up the pitch a little bit, because he has got that kind of turn and then burst, which maybe one or two were doubt when he first arrived, but it's those variety of finishes, Neil, which I really like.
So, positive sort of glossed over to an extent. I'd like to do a little bit longer on them at times, but it, as I say, it is all the way back to Sunday, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you saw the goals and you saw the play. We'll go back to the negatives, or more the clear squad issues, Ian. And to be fair too, for instance, Kelleher, Gomez, Matip and Tsimikas, for 3 of the 4, it's the first time from the start in the new system. Matip had the game against West Ham. But there are issues that we've seen there all season. We'll start off with the goalkeeper. You said before that you feel as though Alisson saves 3 of them. I think he possibly saves 4, even the one that goes in the corner. To me, it's a classic bit of Liverpool play where they're saying, if you want to try and put it in the corner, fill your boots, but we back this fella to save it in goal. And the only place you can put it, by the way, is in the corner, and he's already going there because he knows that, because that's the way in which we play. And I do genuinely think that he saves that. I really do. It's a great finish. I'm not trying to take anything away from the lad, but I genuinely believe Alisson Becker saves that. So I think he'd save all 4. And with Kelleher. You know, it was interesting when the manager talked about this sense that he's going to go nowhere unless there's a certain offer. And I feel as though that's very much what Liverpool... I think the manager's almost just stated the explicit position there, which is that Liverpool would quite like a very, very big money offer. Kelleher does qualify as homegrown, and he qualifies not just as homegrown, but as literally grown by Liverpool. It's not just the nature of where he's come through, but it's the fact that he's a Liverpool homegrown player as far as UEFA are concerned. So I think that is a bit of a big deal for Liverpool, because they've got to be able to name this squad. But all of that said, I think that there would be an offer that would tempt them as we get into the close season.
I think there would, but I think, again, it's back to who's making the offer. Now, I think with someone like Kelleher, this is not me saying he's a poor goalkeeper. My point around him is, I don't know, because I don't think you really get a grasp of how good anyone is, but certainly in playing in that position until they've had a run of games. And that run of games has to be longer than the games or the run he's had, when he's just come in for the odd cup match. And obviously there's been some heroics in the cup, so that can almost take your viewpoint a little bit, where you've seen him do what he's done. I get that. But I think that was his fifth league game. That's not a lot of league games. And who in the right mind is coming in with a really substantial amount of money for a lad who's 24 and he's played five league games for Liverpool and some cup matches? I don't see it. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some mad clubs out there doing some mad things, so you can never rule these things out. But it would feel a big jump for someone to come in with the kind of figure that I've heard mentioned on some of these shows, and maybe the kind of figure that you're alluding to there that the manager would like. And as I say, he might well end up being a very good goalkeeper. But let's have it right. He's nowhere near good enough at this moment in time to be Liverpool's number one. And, you know, we've got the best in the business, so you'd almost feel a bit harsh comparing him to Alisson, because there's very few who are at that level, of course. But if Alisson was to leave the club, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable suddenly giving it to Kelleher, for instance, because, again, I've just not seen enough of him. So I think for his own development, you feel at 24 now feels like a good time for him to maybe go away and start to play a number of games for someone. And listen, he's no doubt he's got ability with his feet and stuff. I think he's really comfortable in that aspect of his game. So yeah, we see what happens, Neil. But it feels like one way Liverpool could get some money in, and I think that's going to be a bit of a balancing act this year. They're going to have to bring funds in to go and do some of the business that they want to do.
He picks a really interesting time to have his worst game for Liverpool, doesn't he? and it's, you know, it does sort of send your mind racing really a little bit. Like, is it because he has come in from the cold, and Ian talked a little bit about that? You know, is it because he's a bit out of match practice? And maybe that's you know, a possible reason not to be as sharp as what you'd like to be. But then, you know, I'm sure there's other times where he's come in similarly in similar circumstances and played much, much better. Was he not expected to play? Is it a late call? And, you know, it's one of the Rafa Benitez ones where it's 2:15 and he's like, fucking hell, I had a massive Nando's last night. Do you know what I mean? Like, or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean? Is it like, you know, was he not sort of, you know, ready to play? You know, is there a little bit of a motivation with him? I mean, this is me just sort of guessing, really, because he was, I thought, miles off what I was expecting it to be. Is it a bit like, why are you throwing me for this shit game? Do you know what I mean? Is it, you know, is there a bit of talk around him? You know, maybe he wants to go, and the club are, you know, in his mind, you know, putting barriers up, and he's going, oh, now you're throwing me in for this fucking shit game that Ali can't be arsed with. Do you know what I mean? Is there a little bit of that? Or I'm exaggerating here, but, you know, did he not go in like he would do normally, whereas I want to do really well in this game and impress and stuff like that? I think for any subs, but I think especially for sub goalies, I think they need the carrot in certain situations. So, for example, he's been a cup goalie, like Ian says before. You know, you throw him in for a League Cup game, third round, and he's thinking, well, if we do well here, I'm playing all the way to Wembley. So you've got that motivation. You know,
which is what you expect from the Europa League group games.
Same, yeah, exactly. If a keeper gets injured, and you're in, you think, well, you know, it's my shit now. If I play well and put five or six, like, maybe I'll keep it. Yeah, it's Alisson Becker, but you know what I mean? You've got to back yourself. If I'm really, really good in these games, I can either show how good I am, which will help me in the future, or maybe I'll even do that well, I get to keep the shirt. You know, there's that sort of carrot there. For this one, it must have felt like, oh, she just throw me in this shit game that none of the main fellas can be arsed with. And so there might have been a little bit of that going in as well. Or if he was sat here, he might say, John, I just had a bad game, and you've just thrown out three Martinis here, and sometimes it happens. and that might be the one, but it is an interesting time, like you're saying. And it's interesting. It's come out, you know, it's around the time of, you know, there was the Carvalho stuff from last night, which I thought people went way over the top on a little, you know, well, a lot, to be honest with you. But it does suggest that there's maybe a few of the younger lads at the moment who are thinking, listen, if I'm not getting my chance now when things are struggling a bit, maybe it's time for me to look away. And maybe there's a few of them, you know, grumbling in the corner together. Going, he's not even that good and I'm not playing or whatever. Listen, I think Kelleher had struggled to say that, but you know, maybe Carvalho saying it, maybe, you know, there's a couple of the others who were just going, you know what, maybe that's me here now, and you know, that is understandable. It's a workplace deal, as you always say.
It is a workplace, but Kelleher is homegrown, and he is qualifies as club homegrown, so does Gomez, and that's why for me I always feel there's a real rush.
But then they could have got a homegrown third if they really wanted to. We could have found someone. Ben Foster's knocking about.
But no, but there's homegrown and then there's also the club part as well. So you get to do it's 4-4. So basically Liverpool have got 3 that they'll be able to register next season. Honestly, if you want to really get into this detail, feel free to contact Phil Blundell directly yourself. He'll help you out. But effectively Liverpool can name 3 in the UEFA homegrown thing. It were Kelleher, Gomez and Jones. They'll be their 3 where the club homegrown and then right. There's the homegrown bit as well.
Okay.
And you want to fill both in an ideal world.
Should get Phil in now. I mean, he can't tell you about the game at the weekend.
No. But, he was there, but he was...
Yeah, he was watching soccer Saturday. Yeah, but he had to tell you about this.
He was present in body, but not in mind or spirit. He can tell you about this. But this is... The same goes for Gomez, Ian, where I think, you know... Like, I think Liverpool need to find a way to get this confidence that's gone out of Joe Gomez back into him somehow, because I struggle to see Liverpool moving him on this summer, given... the chat about other work, and we can talk about Matip at the same time, in that it wouldn't surprise me if one of the two of them goes. And in that instance, I think that the smart one to move on is Matip. You know, 1 year left on his deal, the age that he's at, so on and so forth, rather than Gomez, given all the homegrown sort of bits and pieces in there and how that qualifies. But my God, I'd like them to find a way to not necessarily fix Gomez's body at this point, but just get him to feel like he's more present in terms of his defending.
Yeah, but this is the challenge. You know, he's not going to be a starter if everyone's fit, and it's how is he able to come in, or is he able to come in and hit the levels that you need him to hit? And we're not talking about he's got to come in and be kind of, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10 every time he comes in, but you need to see 7s. And I think there's been too many times this season where, unfortunately for Joe, and I often feel bad for saying it, because as I say, he was a player that I really, really liked, and let's hope he can find his way back to that form of maybe 3 years ago. You worry about him, and there's been just too many occasions where he's not where he needs to be in terms of the level. But also, I think when you're making the comparison about Matip and Gomez, Joe can play other positions. We can play fullback. So I think if Liverpool are looking at letting one of them go,
I'd have liked to have seen him where Tsimikas was at the weekend.
Possibly,
that's where I would have liked to have seen him.
Possibly, yeah. I've never been. Sometimes when he played right fullback, I was never keen on it, and maybe some of that was because of what happened to him at Burnley that time. But I also felt at the time he was a really good centre-half, and his skills were best suited to play in that position. But as time's moved on, and he's obviously suffered more injuries, and he's not able to hit the kind of height you want him to, maybe there is a position there for him where he just fills in and does a little bit. He signed a new deal not that long ago, but the question might be, does Joe Gomez want to do that? Is that okay for him? And in terms of his development, he's 25 now, he'll want to be playing more. And at the minute, the sell seems to be, you come in, lad, but you only come in when Van Dijk or Canati's not there. And at the minute, it's back to when we speak about questions and question marks over certain players, are we all comfortable here sitting right now saying that if Canati comes out of the team for a sustained period of time, or Van Dijk does, then Joe Gomez goes in and plays 10 or 15 games? I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. I think that's where Liverpool are going to have to be looking at other options to bring in other centre-halves until we all feel a little bit maybe more secure about his performances and what level he's actually at, because I don't think we've seen anything over the last 12 to 18 months that suggests he's able to come in and play a run of games and you'd be fine with it. And let's be honest, there's been times this season with Van Dijk and Canati have played and we've not been fucking great. So
yeah.
So there's work to be done, and this is not me just slagging off all the lads who are coming in every now and again. If we want to look at the season as a whole, there's been so far too many of Liverpool's bigger players that have not shown up on a consistent enough basis. Let's have that right. So there's work to be done over the summer, but you're hoping with a decent pre-season behind them, and a pre-season that is befitting of what they need. I think they get it wrong a little bit last year, I think it's fair to say. I think we all recognise that now. So let's see where we are then. But But yeah, there's question marks over that defence, certainly, and then, you know, it's before we get into the midfield.
And that is the problem, isn't it? Is the, you know, I think between us, we've sold three defenders there, do you know what I mean? In you know, Matip, Gomez and Tsimikas, and I would say they would all need replacing, because regardless of what you think we're doing at left back, you know, moving forward, you know, if Robertson doesn't play, then you either need a centre half who can do it, or it is a sort of a like for like. And so, you know, I think for me, Gomez of the three feels like the most likely to stay, because I don't think they want to be buying three new defenders.
No, absolutely.
And then everything that they need to do in midfield as well. And, you know, if Gutman was here, he'd be saying we need a forward as well. And I think there is a reasonable argument for that, especially if you know, Carvalho sort of does move on. Not that he's played loads, but, you know, it's still one less. So I think Gomez just ends up sort of staying because of other priorities, really. And they hope, like you've just said, Ian, that with a good run, you know, with the Europa League games that he'd definitely be able to have, it's a bit less that, you know, you're bringing a lad in, you know, cold. I think the Europa League does offer an opportunity for a few of them.
It's worth saying that if there's someone who's, for instance, not started a league game by the time you get to mid-September, between the September and October international breaks, Liverpool play two Europa League games and an EFL Cup game.
Yeah.
So that's literally three midweeks. There's four league games and three midweek games in the run, if you see what I mean. So if you play the three midweek games, even if you don't get a sniff of a league appearance, if you play, you're on 3 out of 7. And there's a chance that, for instance, Van Dijk's on 4 out of 7 and Salah's on 4 out of 7. So if you're on 3 out of 7, you know, you're almost in as much match practice as they are.
Exactly, yeah. And they just are going to be different teams than what you normally pick in the Champions League. It's a lot easier to leave out someone who, you know, who always wants to play in a Champions League than the Europa League. And so I think Liverpool will take it quite seriously. But there's taking it quite seriously and there's picking a team to win and there's going sort of hell for leather and everything, which makes no sense. And so I think that there will be more opportunities next season for some of these lads who you think, oh, they just need to win a games, but they can't get one. There sort of is little mini runs there, at least.
But the other thing on that, and listen, we don't know what's going to happen with injuries and stuff, but some of the defenders we are talking about are prone to picking up knocks and missing games. And this is where maybe if you kind of looking at it and thinking about potential pitfalls, you don't necessarily want Van Dijk playing in some of those Europa League games, but he might have to, because all of a sudden Matip and Gomez are out. And listen, there's no doubt in Konate's ability, but you would be well within your rights to maybe question his availability at times, because he looks like a player who might just pick up, you know, one or two knocks and he's missing for a little period of time. Brilliant when he's there the majority of the time. He's a hell of a footballer, I think, his level. He could probably achieve whatever he wants in terms of being a great centre-half, but is he always going to be about? And that's where I think Liverpool are going to have to. I agree with John. I think Joe will stay, but Liverpool are going to have to do some business in that back line for me.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll let Matip and Tsimikas go?
I think, again, you know, we know what this manager's like, Neil. I think if certain players want to leave the club, then I don't think he stands in their way. And I think Tsimikas, all the signs pointed to, he might be up for a new challenge. You know, you saw him how he reacted in that last game and stuff. It felt like a little bit of a goodbye. And Matip owes us nothing, to be honest. He owes us absolutely nothing.
Oh, no.
He's been brilliant. Comes in on a free. He's won the lot. More often than not, he's been great for us. Don't get me wrong, there's been some performances there where you're looking at it and thinking, well, he's dropped off a little bit, but all in all, he's had a great Liverpool career.
Okay, back in a second to talk about some of those who didn't feature, but here's me talking to Rafa Honigstein about Jörg Schmadtke.
Schmadtke's coming in understanding that he's not going to be the boss of Jurgen Klopp. He's not going to be his equal either. He's going to be a guy that tries to make happen what Klopp tells him. They might have a discussion about one or two targets. Schmadtke say, you know what, maybe having watched this guy on video now for 100 times, I think he's slightly better than the other guy that you have mentioned already. But I don't see that happening necessarily in the short space of time, because Schmadtke won't know the targets. He won't have scouted any of them. He didn't scout anyone in the last 10 years either. He would have had people scouting for him. Of course, he takes a view, but you rely on the expertise of the people that you work with as a sporting director as well. So he will, I think, come to the shortlist at the club. The people in data analysis, the scouts will have provided, and then ask Klopp, who from those guys do you think is the best choice? Shall we talk it over? Let's see if we can make him happen. If we can't make this guy happen, what do you think about that guy? So I think he's going to be very much a junior partner in this endeavor, which again is reflected by the short term nature of his initial contract. He's not going to be in a position, I think, to provide too much personal input beyond, you know, maybe being a bit of a sounding board if Klopp wants him to be, but it'll be about getting things done.
Welcome back. Those who didn't feature, the first one, the one who's being spoken about at the minute, Ian, is Fabio Carvalho. Linked in some areas with a move away. In others, people saying it might just be a loan. Again, this one feels to me very much as though if a certain offer is made, Liverpool will be accepting it and putting it in front of the player. That's just my reading of it, that there's an amount that Liverpool will take for Fabio Carvalho to move on. I'm not that surprised.
No, I'm not. I was a little bit surprised, like John said, in terms of the reaction to it. It felt that there was a lot of Carvalho fans out there last night. And that's not me saying he's not a good player, by the way. He's clearly talented. And Liverpool, obviously, I think where it maybe you struggle to square it a little bit is that Liverpool obviously clearly wanted him and they went above and beyond to almost get him. So you think, well, there must be a plan. But this comes back to my point that I've made on different shows where I've questioned over the last 12 to 18 months just what that plan is. And it's felt a little bit higgledy-piggledy and a little bit skewed at times. And I don't think it's quite been on point, if I'm honest, across recruitment and you know, even when they're trying to sell some players and maybe not getting some of that right as well. But he doesn't look like a player who's got lots and lots of physicality, and I struggle to see where he maybe fits into this Liverpool team. You know, is he a midfield player? Is he a forward? I think it's hard to make a case for him getting into this Liverpool team at the minute in either of those areas. Doesn't look quite strong enough to play as part of a three, if Liverpool are going to play three in midfield. And in terms of, you know, one of the forward players, I don't really see him getting in there. And that's not me saying he's not good. He clearly is. He has got ability and stuff. So I almost felt there were some of these questions with Elliot as well at times, and you're kind of thinking, where does he fit in? And maybe Liverpool have looked at it and gone, well, we've taken a bit of a chance and we can only carry one of those in terms of where do you play them? And maybe they're putting the chips on Elliot, who, by the way, comes on against Southampton and does really well.
Yeah,
but I think there are times when you've looked at Elliot and you've gone, maybe not quite physical enough for some of these games. And again, some people will point to maybe numbers and stuff, and is he capable of getting the assists and the goals if you're going to play him slightly more forward? So I think there are still, you know, back to there are question marks over lots and lots of players within the squad. I think those two, again, maybe fall into that. Not in terms of maybe letting Elliot go, but in terms of, you know, where do you see him playing? Where do you see him flourishing? And I think in the case of Carvalho, it might just be a case of the manager's watching him every day. He's training with him all the time. So we can have our theories and our views on some of these players. But Jürgen's living with it all every single day. He's watching what's unfolding. He's looking at him. And let's be honest, he does know a player. So if he's not...
And he's prepared to play young lads.
And he is. He's prepared to give people a chance. So if he's not quite offering what the manager wants, then he's well within his rights to kind of say, listen, we tried something. Don't get me wrong, he hasn't had loads of appearances, so I get that. But it's back to, he's watching this play out all the time. And he spoke quite well of him in his press conference, Jürgen. He said, listen, no one's impressed me more. And I think that was a little bit of toffee in terms of just kind of saying, listen, he's doing everything right. When he's being disappointed, he's responding in the right way. But obviously he throws some of those cryptic messages out last night. So it looked like it's going to end with him leaving the club, I would suggest.
Yeah, I take Ian's point on the fact that it has all looked a bit of a shambles the last 12 months in terms of recruitment and in terms of, you know, you felt like everyone was pulling on the same page before and knew exactly what a Liverpool player was. And for this position, we want these skills and go out and get them. And then last 12 to 18 months, it's felt a bit more like, oh, he's a good player. Let's just get him in and we'll see what happens. I think there's an element to that, but I also think there's a bit of they were shifting towards something and now they've backpedaled a little bit. And I think, you know, there was this idea of Liverpool 2.0, if you like, that was going to challenge Man City and how they were playing and were going to take us to another level. And then it's not worked, has it? And we've ended up, you know, last few months very vocally, Jürgen saying, right, well, this is what we're almost going back to. And if you can't do this, you're not getting into the team. And I think it's also possible that he made more sense in what we were moving to and makes less sense in what we're going back to, really. And I've been, as I say, a little bit surprised over how many people seem to think he's brilliant. I accept that, you know, it was the times that towards the end of the season when it made sense to give him a little bit of a go, especially in the formation change, possibly. But, you know, I just, for me, he just looks like someone who we've seen quite a bit of. I don't mean him, I mean his sort of type of player, really, over the last 8 to 10 years. And maybe, you know, maybe we will really get it. And maybe in 5 years, you know, you're looking at a Ballon d'Or winner, and a few people will get to say the smart on Twitter. But I think it's more likely that he goes and does a Suso and just has a nice career somewhere. And I was like, oh, that's nice, he's playing for AC Milan, but there's no one going, I tell you what, I'd whack 20 million quid on Suso. And so it seems to me like he's going to go somewhere else that suits him more and have quite a good career, and that is fine. But Liverpool, you know, feel like they're in it, maybe in a good position now to get a few quid for him that's going to help him get in the players who are suited to what we want to do and who are going to. So, yeah, part of me would prefer it was a loan and go out, because, you know, it'd be nice to have the option of bringing back. Maybe there'd be a buyback, I don't know. But, you know, if we do, you know, want them to get all these players that we're sort of talking about, you know, getting it, I don't know how much they get for him, but say £20 million for someone who, you know, then you're able to sort of reinvest that into someone who's more likely, you know, to fit into the Erking system, just sort of seems to make sense for me. I take Ian's points on whether you work that hard to get him and stuff like that, but, you know, it might just be one of them. They've got him in to see, it's not worked out, and, you know, cutting your losses early, you know, and, you know, it feels more sensible to me than all hanging around and hoping, you know, he miraculously shoots up 6 inches.
There is, you know, we talked about Keller, we talked about Gomez, we talked about Matip, we talked about Tsimikas. You've mentioned Elliott and dispatches as we've gone, Ian, Carvalho there as well. I think you can have a chat around Thiago, Ramsey, Clark and Morton in different ways too. Morton coming back from what feels as though it's been a successful loan period. I think you can do the same thing possibly for Conor Bradley as well, who feels as though, you know, he's very much adored with what he's put in at Bolton. My point here is that York Schmadker is coming in, and it's a big period of time, you know, both in terms of, and I think this is the bit that always gets missed, you know, we always focus on the ins and we want there to be ins, but you need to create room. There's got to be outs. We know that four are going on free transfers and leaving the club, but it is, you know, his short-term deal that Schmadker's on feels as though it's a short-term deal with a lot to get through.
There's loads to get through, and I think, you know, the manager's been quite bullish in terms of talking about the work that has to be done. He's made comments around he's going to be busy on the phone, you know, his phone's going to be off the hook, all
no
that
holiday.
Kind of stuff, no holiday.
It's lovely round form, by the way.
It is lovely round form.
Big sky on that beach.
So he's talked a little bit about the need to get players in very early on. And I think some of that is just a bit of a reminder to the owners and the people who are responsible for bringing the players in that there needs to be action and it needs to be quite quick, because he doesn't need to tell us. He doesn't need to tell us how important it is to get people in. He doesn't need to tell any of the journalists, even if they're asking him questions. He can bat those things away. I think he's deliberately just putting stuff out there so everyone's on the same page, and we all know and they all know that actually he wants them in, and he wants them in early. There can be no kind of discrepancy this summer, because if you look at last summer, and I don't think it's a hindsight thing, but Liverpool got it massively wrong. You look at the business, it just isn't anywhere near good enough for what ambitions Liverpool should have had and did have, and that was to go and win the big trophies, and they don't do enough. So the manager will be aware of that, and listen, maybe he played his part in that as well a little bit in terms of saying don't need midfielders, then flipping on it. But maybe he was just backing his lads because he knew he couldn't get the players in, and maybe the funds weren't there because they went and put the money elsewhere. So it's hard to know some of the ins and outs of that, but what we do know now is that Liverpool have to act with clarity, they have to act with certainty as much as you can do with transfers, because you're not going to get them all right. But unfortunately, Liverpool live in a world where we have to get more right than one or two of our competitors, because the money's not quite there, or the money is you know, people choose not to put it in sometimes, if I phrase it like that. So they've got to get some of this right, and they've got to get some of it right quickly. I think pre-season starts, is it the 8th of July? Something like that.
74 games till the first game, Ian.
74 days until the first
Christmas,
Premier League
John,
game of the season.
74 sleeps.
I saw you lads exchanging last night. We were going to open your team meeting with someone out, which would have been interesting.
We didn't open, but it did get thrown in.
It came off.
The troops love that, don't they? So yeah, they've got to be doing business. They've got to be doing business early, because the manager will want to work with these players, and we can't be sitting here in August and all of a sudden, you know, there's new midfield arrivals then. Maybe you can get away with one of them coming in late, but he will want to work with them. He'll want to get a good Liverpool, a good Jurgen Klopp pre-season into them. So it should be an interesting kind of next 4 to 6 weeks.
A lot for Schmeichel to do. Seems like a character, which is no bad thing. I'm very into characters turning up at Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone who going to hopefully give Jürgen a bit of a challenge when it's needed, but also back him in other times when it's needed as well. You know, we need to move quickly. We need to, you know, be decisive. You know, all the stuff that Ian's just said there is completely spot on. You know, if this guy can help with that, you know, it's a short term. It is a bit of a risk, you know, because you look at his, you know, the clubs he's worked at, it's a jump up and you know, he's got pedigree, but, you know, and, you know, people like him from obviously the clubs who he's been at, but, you know, it's sort of not quite Liverpool, really. And with any sort of, you know, throwing another combative character in, it can sometimes backfire, but sometimes it can be good. It's short term, you know, that's what everyone said. So we'll sort of see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, you move decisively there and find something. But it's just, you know, we need people in the positions and we need them to get to work, basically. And you know, we played Sunday, he's there Tuesday, Sunday's there, he looks ready to go. And yeah, he's got a busy summer, so let's all get on with it. You know, you just, I want to be sat here on the 1st of August or T-minus 10 or whatever it is, and just saying, yeah, we've got a much better squad than when we finished the season. You know, I feel like we're possible. You know, we're going to challenge for everything again this year with the squad we've got. I don't know who that's going to be. There's going to be some where we think we're going to get over the line. There'll be others where I'm sure that'll come completely out of nowhere. So I'm not panicking at the moment, but there's a lot to do, you know, because at the moment, the squad is worse than the season they finished because they've let four go. And no matter what you think of them, they were footballers and they did play. And I thought, you know, there's one of them I would have kept. There's two of them Jürgen would have kept. There's one fellow half a Twitter fucking loved. And so you know what I mean? There's in those situations where, you know, I think there's footballers there. So we would have got a worse squad now. So we've gone backwards from fifth. So there's a lot of work to do. And so let's hope this fella's up for it.
Busy. McAllister, soon.
Feels like it's going to happen, doesn't it? I mean, he's definitely leaving the club.
By the FA Cup final or by the Champions League final? 3rd of June, 10th of June.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is.
Hanno tells me he's on holiday is the only thing. So okay. If they want to get some nice shots done, if they want to unveil it properly, and Miles get his drone out. I've realised not everyone knows who Miles is. Listen, he's the fellow who does the drones at Liverpool. lovely fella.
Drone guy.
Great drone work. Yeah. You know, if they want to sort of do it properly, unless you'll leave early, which they will sometimes, but I think he's a little bit too big time for that. I think he wants a holiday. And you know what? He's deserved it. He did fucking win the World Cup.
Won the World Cup.
I mean, you'd imagine he is one that comes through the door. But I think in terms of what comes after that, I do think Liverpool need to be looking at a bit of size as well in terms of physicality and stuff. And I think if we're all going to accept that Jordan Henderson isn't going to play as many games, and I don't think he should. He's been great for the football club. We all know that, or most people know that. But it is time to see less of him. I think we can all agree on that now. His best days are behind him. And then there's the Fabinho question. He's come back into a bit more form, but I'm not sitting here totally convinced that Liverpool...
Didn't have those lads behind him, did he, on Sunday?
No.
If I was them, I'd be going, I tell you what, you were better 3 games ago.
I think it was that third goal, and it's the end of the season and the last game and all that, but...
And he's quick, the lad.
He is quick, but my God, Fabinho looked fucking slow as well, you know, on the flip side. And he might have had a yellow card at that point. I don't know whether he did or not.
There was a lot of debate when we were watching it as a group, but mainly because of what we were all watching Everton. So yeah. No one was really on top of the detail.
Me too, mate. So I don't know, but... I think Liverpool have to be doing something in that number six position. And I know McAllister can do bits there, but I think they have to be looking at recruiting a lad who is a specialist in that area.
There we are. It's been the Anfield Wrap after Southampton. Next week will be the season review, and there'll be a series of season reviews to come. There's transfer committee games there on the way as well. There's in their shoes stuff, me and Ian are decamping to the Wirral for an afternoon in the sun. We hope it's in the sun. John will be there as well. Actually, it just occurred to me, the three of us will be
there. Ian's got a bigger day. It's fine.
Ian's got a longer day.
It's seven shows.
See the schedule, fucking hell.
that's coming. You name it, we're in the midst of it all the way through, and there'll be the best and most immediate reaction to any big Liverpool breaking news. Speaking of which, Rafa Honigstein on Schmadke, that's coming in a second too. Sports Social Podcast Network.